And you're listening to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's 8:16 a.m., February 15th. My name is Courtney Kirkby, and I am now joined in studio by Isabel McDonald. Isabel's going to be speaking tonight at an event about Haiti. It's happening at 6 p.m. at 3480 McTavish, room 203. This is the Lev Buckman room on McGill campus. That's 3480 McTavish. And she was supposed to speak with hip-hop artist Docphilia, but we learned just recently last night that he has not been accepted into Canada. He was supposed to fly from Haiti for the event tonight. So Isabel, I first want to welcome you in studio. Hello.
Thanks so much, Courtney, and good morning to all your listeners.
So maybe you can start by explaining what happened with Docphilia and what he had planned to come to Montreal to talk about.
Yeah, so Docphilia is a hip-hop artist who lives in Port-au-Prince, and he is a politically conscious artist who has been quite outspoken on the role of the UN Stabilization Force, known as MINUSTAH by its French acronym, in Haiti. He's as well as being a musician, he also is a graduate of the medical school at the University of Havana in Cuba. And he works, and he's currently working as a veterinarian and as a teacher, a university teacher in Port-au-Prince. And he'd previously been employed by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, during a time when evidence first started to come out of the UN's role in a cholera outbreak in Haiti that has claimed over 7,000 lives now. Now, cholera had never existed in Haiti before last year, and the UN, through negligence, seems like they introduced cholera. They brought over soldiers from Nepal to serve as part of their stabilization mission in Haiti, which itself is a very controversial mission. We can go into that in a little bit. And in Nepal, there was at the time a cholera outbreak of a kind of cholera never seen in Haiti before. And suddenly, cholera started cropping up in the area of this UN base where the Nepalese soldiers were stationed. And lots of people started getting sick. The thing with cholera is that it is a preventable disease if there are proper hygiene conditions. If people have water to be able to wash their hands, if they have clean running water, it's not a problem. However, in Haiti, since the earthquake, despite these bold pledges about building back Haiti better that were made by the Canadian government and other first world governments, there is very little that has been rebuilt, including any sanitation systems. And so cholera has really spread throughout Haiti and become a huge problem. Now, Docphilia, working for the UN at the time, began circulating photographs of the UN dumping what appeared to be sewage to his superiors, and he says that he was then dismissed. So he was coming to Canada to talk about his experience with the UN, his experience as a Haitian, who, as the majority of Haitians at this point, are opposed to this UN so-called peacekeeping mission that is the only UN mission of its sort that has existed in a context where there isn't a civil war. It's being used basically to it's being used for purposes of repression. It's being used to to conduct counterinsurgency warfare in neighborhoods where the prime problems are really about economic and social problems, that people lack resources, people lack services. And so it's a completely inappropriate use of the UN. And this sentiment is very, very strong in Haiti. So I think that we need to reflect on the fact that Doc Fila's visa was rejected by Canada, a major supporter of the UN mission and a major supporter of the whole post-earthquake fiasco of non-rebuilding in Haiti. We have to we need to place it in that context. But the event is going ahead, so I would encourage people to come out, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about what hasn't happened in terms of Haiti's rebuilding, and also putting the what happened with Doc Fila's visa being rejected in a broader context of this disaster of the UN mission and of Canada's role in Haiti.
So you'll be speaking also about public institutions. Maybe you can elaborate more on what you're going to bring tonight.
Yeah, so basically, I don't know if people remember, but about a bit over 2 years ago in Montreal, there was a big conference that the Canadian government hosted with, and Hillary Clinton came, and leaders from all over the world came, and there was all this talk about we're going to build back Haiti better. And it is going to be a Haitian-led process, and we will be supporting Haitian institutions, and we will be building up the capacity of the Haitian state, and we will learn from our past failures in Haiti. Haiti is known as a graveyard of development projects. So there was a real emphasis by the Canadian government and others after the earthquake, like we can sort of make amends for the past, and we can really get it right, get Haiti right this time. Mm-hmm. And it's been over 2 years. The pledges that were made after the earthquake by Canada and other nations are supposed to have been all delivered to Haiti by now. It was over $5 billion that was pledged for Haiti's rebuilding, and only about half of that has actually come through. And then there's a question of, well, what has the money been spent on, mm-hmm. and where has it gone? And in the case of the Canadian spending, I can say as a journalist who's actually been really trying to tell this story of where has the Canadian reconstruction funding in Haiti gone, it's very difficult to actually even come by the numbers of what has been spent. Overwhelmingly, there's been a trend of aid in general to Haiti after the earthquake being channeled into government agencies from the donor countries. So, for instance, this was really well illustrated in the case of the U.S., where a huge chunk of the money that the U.S. of the millions of dollars the U.S. spent on emergency relief in Haiti after the earthquake actually went to the U.S. military to pay back the military for the expenses it incurred in going to Haiti right after the earthquake, where it actually played quite a dubious role and blocked a bunch of Médecins Sans Frontières aid shipments to Haiti because it seized control of the airport. So, there's also a lot of money that has gone to NGOs, major international non-governmental organizations who are playing a role in, like, a pretty critical role in the supposed rebuilding of Haiti. A lot of these organizations don't actually have experience with building long-term housing, so there is a glut of what are called temporary shelters in Haiti. However, it's taken a very long time for them to actually be built. So what we're seeing is all this aid money is actually going into rebuilding shanty towns in Haiti that are actually more remote than some of the original some of the neighborhoods that people got displaced from. But the housing stock that we're looking at, because these temporary shelters are most likely going to be there for the long haul, are of pretty poor quality. Reports I've heard, I was in Haiti in March and then again in the summer. Already there are buildings that are starting to leak.
What kind of materials are they using in the buildings?
Well, there are some Quebec companies that have provided some shelters. There are some that I've seen that are wood. There are some which doesn't make a lot of sense in a country where there's a rainy season. It's extremely humid. traditionally Haitian buildings have been built out of concrete, which withstands these factors like the rainy season, and it also has cooling properties. Mm. One project that was quite extraordinary in its ill thought outness that myself and another journalist from Montreal, Isabeau Doucette, wrote about for the Montreal Gazette and the Nation magazine this past summer, which was one of the first projects approved by the interim Haiti Recovery Commission, which was this commission that was set up to ensure that the rebuilding was Haitian-led and accountable, and that Canada has provided money to, and actually Canada furnished its headquarters in Port-au-Prince. That project saw instead of actually building shelters that were needed in Haiti to prepare for hurricane season, they imported a bunch of trailers from the United States, built in the United States, from a company that was being sued over high levels of formaldehyde in trailers it had sold to the U.S. government after Hurricane Katrina. So what we've seen is a real lack of due diligence, also a real lack of Haitian involvement in the process of their own country's rebuilding. Like, even at the heart of this this commission set up to ensure that the process was Haitian-led, the Haitian board members have been very outspoken about the fact that they are being completely excluded from the process of decision making. These are people who have agreed to participate inside this commission, which itself was seen by many as a violation of Haitian sovereignty, because it's co-chaired by Bill Clinton. It was seen as kind of an instrument for outside countries to meddle in the process of rebuilding. But there were Haitians who said, okay, we are going to participate. They were appointed. They are participating, and even they were throwing up their hands, saying, "This is completely. We're not given any information about from which we can make any sensible decisions, and we're just being used as basically." They were saying they were being used as rubber stamps by this Bill Clinton-led commission. Eventually, this commission got abolished by the Haitian Parliament. It came up for renewal in October, and the Haitian Parliament declined to give it a new mandate. So this is the state of Haiti's recovery 2 years after the earthquake. And I think what is becoming apparent is that we're not building Haiti back better. We're building back some kind of colonialism.
Isabel McDonald, thank you so much for joining us in studio this morning. Isabel will be speaking tonight, Wednesday, February 15th at 6 p.m. at 3480 McTavish, which is room 203, and that's Lev Buckman on McGill campus. She was supposed to speak with Haitian hip-hop artist Doc Filla, but that is not possible given that Doc did not receive a visa after two attempts. So Isabel will be sort of presenting some of the things that Doc had intended to bring tonight, and also a context of Haitian-Canadian immigration.